Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we are here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have on the show a really great mover and shaker, Allie O'Malley. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here. Allie, so I was joking with you that you sent me your bio. I asked for the bios. And if I read it, I think I would use up the whole hour. I have a good 4-page bio here. A lot of stuff going on. But so we're really going to, we'll dig into this piece by piece.
Sure.
In a good conversation. So since 2008, you have been president of Resolve of Greater Rochester, formerly Safe Journey.
Correct.
And so what I want to find out, learn first for our listeners, please give us an overview of Resolve. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to hear about, you know, what you're doing for the community and in your own personal journey about your path to Resolve. And we'll just carry the conversation from there.
Okay, great. Well, Resolve of Greater Rochester has been serving the community for 20 years. We actually just marked our 20-year anniversary on January 29th. So that's exciting news for us. It's positive and negative, quite honestly, because the work we do focuses on remediating the effects of domestic violence, working primarily with people on what comes next. Most people think of domestic violence programming as being crisis intervention, and that's really important, but you can't remediate the crisis and then send somebody on their way and expect them to be successful. We actually have to help them heal through their experience and then envision their life without their violent or abusive partner. And that sounds a little strange to people who are outside of this work. They often think just leave the relationship and your life automatically gets better. And that's not how it works at all. So that's been our focus. And so it's wonderful that we've been available to serve people for 20 years, but it's also heartbreaking that we're still needed after 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess your goal is to work yourself out of a job, but you know.
It is, actually. It is, right. Actually. And I think that that's really important. One of the things that makes Resolve unique is that, first of all, our program is non-residential. There is no shelter. People very often believe that domestic violence has to have a shelter component. Absolutely untrue. The vast majority of domestic violence victims and survivors never enter any kind of supportive housing mm-hmm. environment. They just try to figure out how to navigate their life.
Yep.
So we respond in that way. We started actually as a program for suburban and rural women because there wasn't anything like that in Monroe County. And you had to go to the city of Rochester. And 20 years ago, the city's done a great job bringing people back to the city. But 20 years ago, if you were somebody in the suburbs or a little more in the outlying rural communities, you weren't driving into the city of Rochester when you're feeling vulnerable because it's scary. And so it was important that there was a program where you could access it. And so that was the original gap that we filled.
So a lot of women, were they just more prone to stay in the relationship? Because
Absolutely.
It was even harder to get help?
Yeah. The barriers to getting help were high and actually still are for many people.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it is understandable. I mean, I think the quick thing is we'll just get out. But to your point, I mean, these women mentally are, I mean, self-confidence, self-esteem, ego is just beaten down too, that
right.
they, you know, they don't have the confidence to do something like that quite often, I would imagine.
Right.
And they need to work with people to retrain their brain, retrain
right.
their habits, build the confidence, build the self-esteem
yeah.
to give them the self-worth to say, you know, I am somebody very special that will not be treated like this. Right?
Correct.
But it's very hard to say that and feel that when your self-esteem is at zero.
Exactly. And
yeah.
when you've been told, you know, kind of over and over again
yeah.
that you aren't worth anything, nobody else is ever going to want you, I'm the only one who cares about you. You know, you begin
right.
to believe those lies that your partner's telling you. And I just want to make one quick comment. While largely we serve women, the issue of domestic violence is affecting women and men at remarkably similar numbers. So when we think about all forms of violence, emotional, verbal, financial, and physical and sexual, The numbers of people who experience that are 1 in 3 women in their lifetime. 1 in 3 will experience domestic violence.
Wow.
And 1 in 4 men will be in that as well, as the victim, not as the perpetrator.
What do you say with men? Is it violence, but it's also other things you're saying too?
Well, it's the whole spectrum. So it's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, physical and sexual abuse. So there's a whole spectrum of abuse that happens.
Now, do you work with men too?
We do.
Okay. All right. I was going to ask that, but I figured it was a very small minority. But you're saying it's
the numbers are much closer than we think, and the barriers for men are remarably high.
Right.
It's very, very hard for men to ask for help around this issue and admit
absolutely.
That they're being abused. So, yeah. But it's important that people recognize that there are services available, both Resolve and our partners at Willow Domestic Violence Center, both provide services for men as well as women.
Right. Interesting.
So
let me shift just a little bit. We're going to dig more into your services, but people may be wondering that, you know, Allie is running a nonprofit. Why is she on a show about entrepreneurs? And I say, let me tell you, don't be fooled about being an entrepreneur only, that entrepreneurship is only for for-profit businesses.
Right.
I mean, you are running an organization. And just because it's a, you know, quote-unquote nonprofit, you still need to, you know, it's weird to say, but bring in customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to market, you need to manage the finances, you need to grow the business, you need, right. There's so many, you're running a business just like, and you need to be entrepreneurial in your thinking.
Yeah.
Right? And and so at the end of the day, I think everybody that is running a not-for-profit successfully, I'm going to call them an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So Resolve is unique in this respect. Our organization received 0 state or federal reimbursement dollars.
So say that again.
So we receive we receive absolutely no money from the government for the services we provide.
Right? But why is that? Is there controls that go along with that, or?
Yeah, so when we thought about how we were going to fund this organization, at first 20 years ago when we started, there wasn't any money available for non-residential domestic violence programs. So it was, how are we going to respond to this need? And we had to do it on private dollars.
Yeah.
We were forced to.
Yeah.
But then as time has gone on, that pool of money that's available today is very limited. And if we were to apply to be eligible for that money, which we would qualify, we would only dilute the existing pool of money that's going to other providers in the community who are doing the work.
Wow.
And so it doesn't make more money available. So the government only has so many dollars to give to this work. So we choose not to be part of that stream. And there's a lot of strings attached to that money.
Yeah.
And we also believe that we can be more effective working with private dollars. Yeah. So we really are more of a social entrepreneur organization. We are, in fact, nonprofit, but we have a very kind of entrepreneurial spirit.
The fact that you just said that one of the reasons you don't go after that money is because you'd be taking money away from other organizations just moved you up to like probably the maximum level of cool factor in my book.
Thank you.
I thought you were pretty cool to begin with. So I think that's truly amazing. And you had no choice but to grow that way in the beginning. It's almost like my dad made me learn to drive a stick shift first, because then I could drive anything, right? And so now you're supporting the organization without relying on government funding, which just makes you that much more stronger, right? So that's fantastic. Allie, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. I'm here with Allie O'Malley from Resolve Rochester, Resolve of Greater Rochester.
Correct.
I'm going to get that right. I'm Dave Amato, your host of the Entrepreneurs of Bounty Entrepreneurship.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the 3 C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free endless pool idea kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for your free information. 800-281-4117. That's 800-281-4117.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now. Call 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with Allie O'Malley, and she is the CEO of Resolve of Greater Rochester. So Resolve of Rochester, Greater Rochester, is helping victims of domestic violence, doing some great, great things in the community for women and, surprisingly to a lot of people, men. So thank you for all that you're doing. Thank We're talking you. About the fact that you are nonprofit, but still very entrepreneurial. And I think you have to be entrepreneurial, especially because you're not taking any government funding. Right. And so that just forces you to be really just run it just like a regular business. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to not show any profit, I guess, right? So,
well, it's not just the profit piece. I think what's interesting about nonprofit is there isn't a cause and effect to how money is raised, right? So when clients come in our door and need direct services, they are invited to contribute to the cost of their care. They can do that if they're able to do that. If they can't, we're never going to turn them away. But that money, that's the revenue that's generated that way, is probably 1% of our total revenue.
Right.
But you know, we don't have a direct correlation to this dollar was raised by providing this service. So we're constantly soliciting money through foundations, through individual donors, and annual appeals and events.
Yep.
And we're saying, we're asking you to believe in the work we do, and contribute to our ability to be able to do that.
Yep.
So it's very interesting from a marketing perspective. You know, you are selling people on the importance of the work you're doing. The currency we really trade in is lives. We're saving lives every day.
Yeah.
And so we're asking people to support us in helping to save lives and see the value in that.
Pretty darn good cause.
It is.
So being in this role now for 10 years, so as a man that personally I could never imagine hitting anybody, except, you know, fifth grade fights with other boys, but never imagine hitting a woman. Like, it's just not in my, I can't understand that, how a man would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a woman, I guess, right? So, I mean, what do you find the reason for this? I know there are probably various reasons, but is it a lot of mental illness? Is it just abuse as a child that rears its ugly head later? I just can't imagine what brings a person to do that. Is there a theme, quote unquote, you know?
So I've worked on both sides of this issue. You know, I'm not a counselor, so I don't do the direct service work in our agency, but I have worked with perpetrators and been a facilitator in perpetrator programs, and my own experience. I lived with it growing up, and then I married into it at a young age, right out of high school. It was really the only thing I ever knew. I didn't know what a healthy relationship looked like because I'd never experienced one.
Mm-hmm.
And the working with male perpetrators specifically, it does seem that there is a common thread in terms of exposure to childhood trauma with many, many perpetrators. Certainly not all perpetrators. Yeah. And I think what's really important is we have a perception, thank you to Hollywood and television and other things, of who domestic violence perpetrators are. First of all, we think that they're always physical in terms of how they abuse their partner. That's absolutely not true. We think that they are wearing a white tank top with a V-neck and have a bottle of beer in their hand and, you know, are disheveled and can't hold a job. Again, absolutely untrue. There certainly are those who fall into that category, but that's not all domestic violence perpetrators. In Monroe County, domestic violence occurs at nearly equal rates in the suburbs and in the urban center. So roughly 48% of all domestic violence is suburban. And the many of the folks who come through our door have not experienced physical violence. They're not black and blue. Nobody can see what they're dealing with. However, they may be being sexually assaulted routinely as a way that other people can't see what's happening. Financial abuse is a horrible experience for people, and it really keeps them stuck.
What is financial abuse? Just not.
So financial abuse looks a lot of different ways, but what it primarily is not having any access to your household income. So, you know, a lot of couples really struggle to navigate finance, personal finance, even in healthy relationships. You know, money is a hard topic. But if you are both working and money's going into a common bank account, you're not allowed to keep separate accounts. There really isn't any negotiation about how money is spent, but one partner controls all of the money. That's controlling behavior, especially if it's not done with a general best interest of the whole family. Oftentimes people who are living with financial abusers are not allowed to access things like healthcare. Even if they have health insurance, their partner will say, you don't deserve to access healthcare and you can't get your routine medicines. I'm not going to pay for them. So
I just can't comprehend.
You know, I know it's hard to understand, but it's very common and it's incredibly, controlling and damaging when you know that you're bringing money into the house and you can't access it. And then the consequences can be very serious if you try to create your own bank account or they find out that you have some money, you know, that can bring on worse forms of violence. So, but staying with a partner, the primary reason people stay is their concern about making it financially on their own.
Right, right. So what you do is convince that person, like, let's work out a plan where, yes, you can make it happen, right?
Well, yeah, we do talk about that. So how do you create a plan? And we actually have volunteer financial planners who will work one-on-one with clients and say, all right, so let's look at, if you were to leave, what money would you have?
Right.
Where do we start from? And is it as dire as you actually think it is?
Yeah.
Many, another form of really financial abuse is refusing to let your partner work. Don't let them have any income. It isn't choosing to be a stay-at-home mom. It's being forced to be a stay-at-home mom. That's control.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of people who need to update job skills because they've been out of the workforce for a long time. So they can't actually walk into a job that they believe they can do because they haven't worked in 10 years and have fallen behind.
Yeah.
So how do we get you connected to Rochester Works or other resources that can help you update your job skills so you can get a better paying job than working in a retail store, which might have worked when you had a second income. But if you're actually going to think about doing this yourself now, you may need more than that.
Yeah. How many people on your team?
We have a total of 5 people on our staff. We have 2 counselors, myself, an office manager, and a development director who's actually starting this week.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, okay.
So 5 is new.
Yeah.
But everybody is part-time in our organization.
Wow.
So we serve, last year we served 128 people who are healing and growing through their experiences with domestic violence. And in addition to that, we do a lot of education. So we look at this issue through the lens of public health. It really is a health crisis as much as it is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Most victims don't ever want to access the criminal justice system. That's just a remedy that doesn't feel right to them. At one time, or even still, they love this person who's treating them in a way that they can't understand. They may have children together. They're trying to figure out how do we manage and co-parent through this experience. Mm-hmm. So we look at this primarily through the lens of how do we promote wellness and health in families.
Right. So you're doing a lot with a little.
We do a lot with a little. Our total operating budget is $300,000 a year.
Wow. Okay. So what are your biggest challenge is, you know, not putting on your CEO, I'm running a business hat, What are your biggest challenges when it comes to running this business in 2018?
Our biggest challenge is resources. Mm-hmm. It's definitely resources.
You're talking money, people.
Yeah, money first, mm-hmm. which allows us to then add people. Again, it's really challenging to do a direct cause and effect,
yeah.
right? So if I add more client-facing staff, I don't necessarily generate more revenue.
Right.
Right? So I have to be able to really justify to a funder, whether it's a grant or a foundation or an angel donor or... you know, the mass donors who give $25, you know, a couple times a year, mm-hmm. that it really is important work that we're doing. So raising that, and that's why we've just added a development director, somebody who's really skilled at developing resources and bringing them into the organization.
Great. So that person will go out and meet with companies and try to get them involved in what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah, correct.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And you have a board.
Yes, we have a board of directors.
And that's how I met you.
Yes.
Well, I guess we met before, you said.
Yeah, just in passing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I feel terrible. I'm 49 now, and I think my brain has reached the capacity. Someone in Target a couple days ago came up to me, "Hey, Dave, how are you doing?" I mentioned a lot of specifics.
Yeah.
And I played along very nicely, but I left that conversation having no idea who that person was. And I felt terrible. Yeah. So sorry if I don't remember
That's
you.
That's all right.
I will remember you forever now. So, but on your board, and this is how we met, Lita Colin-Terry.
Right.
And she is the godmother of my daughter.
Yeah.
Love Lita. So she's on your board. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday we had on the show Caitlin Drago. And she's on your board too, I believe?
Or she's not on our board, but she's volunteered with us and runs some programming. Yeah.
All right. Well, now the pressure is on to get her on your board.
Yes. That's a good thought, actually. Yeah.
So crazy question. Maybe not crazy, but any men on your board?
Yes. I mean, we work very hard to keep a balance in our board of male to female. So right now we have 6 women and 3 men.
Great.
Okay. And we're actually trying to recruit men specifically because we do believe that this is not a woman's issue. This is everyone's issue.
Yep.
And that when we became Resolve in 2012, it was because we merged with an organization called Stand Up Guys. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the world we live in right now, there's a lot of pressure on men to understand where do they fit in this work of preventing violence against women, whether it's sexual violence, which is everywhere we look at the moment, the conversation about sexual violence, or domestic violence. So, and I want to commend you on when I came in today, we haven't met personally. And before you just automatically reached to hug me, you asked me if it was okay. And I'm a hugger, so it is okay with me. But that was a really cool thing that you did, and something that a lot of men don't think about. Even well-intended men.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know my story. Yeah. You don't know if men have been abusive to me and that maybe hugging you doesn't feel good, even if it's intended to. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I'm a big hugger, men and women. You know,
yeah.
I'm not prejudiced in my hugging. Everybody gets a hug if they want one. And I've never been criticized for hugging, but I have felt like, oh, I just hugged somebody who is not a hugger. And I'm like, all right, for now on, I'm gonna give a little warning.
But that's great that you're tuned into that. I think a lot of men right now feel really backed into a corner. Like, I don't know how to be me in this new world because I've never meant to hurt anyone, but I don't want it to be interpreted that way.
Right.
And I think a lot of men are also afraid that now something could get misinterpreted and they feel like their career could disappear.
Right.
And that's the pendulum. You know, that's the pendulum in any kind of social issue swinging to an extreme.
Yeah.
And in most businesses, regular businesses, not, you know, the media and other places, you're not going to see somebody in a minute losing their job over something like this. But it is an awareness piece, and we work really hard on this kind of thing, is how do we impact the culture in which we live to make issues like sexual assault and domestic violence go away.
Yeah.
That's, we really are committed to prevention. As much as we do the direct service work, and that's what we're known for, we do it through this lens of prevention. If you've been affected by domestic violence, you don't have to live the rest of your life as a victim.
Yeah.
You get to go on and thrive.
Yeah.
You get to take back whatever was lost and go forward. You know, you talk in some of your other podcasts about kind of falling forward or tripping forward.
Yeah.
Domestic violence for most people is an experience of tripping forward.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to be the same person on the other side. You can't go back, but you can be stronger, richer, more capable on the other side of this experience. You can learn to see yourself that way.
And that's Avanti. Avanti means move forward.
Oh, excellent.
In Italian. So, Love it. You bring up a good point. You know, this past year with everything coming out, you know, Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein, mm-hmm. I mean, all these men that turn out to be just really incredible pigs at the end of the day. And I almost, you know, I don't want to go on Facebook because everyone, you know, misinterprets, but I almost wanted to take a stand for us good men and say, the good news is, in my opinion, most men that I know are not like that.
Right.
But also we're confused because if you look nice today, I, as a good man who is not going to harm you, I want to be able to tell you look nice today because there's nothing mm-hmm. behind that comment mm-hmm. with me, mm-hmm. right? You know, I want to hold the door for you. If it's okay with you, I want to give you a hug. But it is confusing time for men that where it's truly all there is that nice compliment, holding the door, right. the hug. So it's, you know, maybe you said it like the pendulum's going to swing back. But I do feel like we have to navigate a little bit more carefully now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if I say I like your haircut, that's all I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that I want to take you in my office and press a secret button that locks my door.
Right.
I'm just really telling you I like your hair.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, for some of these the pig-headed men, they've ruined it for us nice
right.
guys. You know.
Right. Yes. Well, and it's true. The vast majority of men are good guys. So, and you know, it's the old bad apple in the cart. Right.
All the apples, yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, you know, through our lens that this is a time in our history where we get to understand a little bit more about how relationships work and the impact that things that maybe we've taken for granted for a long time have had on other people.
Yep.
I had an experience with my trainer not too long ago where I was really tight and I asked him to help me stretch. And I have this experience, this life experience with sexual assault and domestic violence. And he immediately, because I asked for help, started helping me stretch, but was like over me. And, you know, I've done a lot of work. So I knew that I wasn't unsafe with this man, but I felt the panic and I like had to work through the panic of he's not going to hurt you. Just take a breath. You're okay. Yeah. But he didn't know that. He had no way of knowing that. And so I had an opportunity to say when we were finished, you know, I need to ask you something. And I said, you know, I'm fairly new client. You don't know me all that well. I asked you for help with stretching. You did help me. I feel much better. And I really kind of freaked out with how that went because I wasn't, you didn't say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And here's what's going to come next. And, and he said, oh my God, I had no idea. And I will do that from now on. It
right.
takes me 2 seconds to tell you what's coming up. And
right, yeah.
he said, you know, thank you. I'm glad to know that. So just that kind of awareness that men and women stand in the world differently.
Yeah.
We've had different exposures socially. And most women also are not looking for the opportunity to call out a guy on their behavior. We're not.
Yeah.
We're not looking to get somebody fired because they've been a pig to us. That's not how women stand even
right.
today.
Yeah.
So it's
but
helpful.
You were nice. You were nice enough to explain to the trainer what you're going through and gave him the opportunity to be understanding and more empathetic in the future. So, so that was nice. So Allie, we're going to take one more quick break. We'll be right back. I'm here with Allie O'Malley from Resolve of Greater Rochester.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC. Another wild day for stocks. The Dow was up 350, then down 230. Right now, it's down 300. The Nasdaq, 77 lower. The S&P, 25. UPS and FedEx both down 2% today. Amazon said to be working on its own shipping service that would move packages from businesses directly to customers. Uber will pay Google $250 million. That will settle charges Uber used Google's self-driving auto trade secrets without permission. L.L. Bean's generous return policy, a little less generous. Now you've got 1 year to return an item you don't like because people were sending back items years later that they may never have even owned. Oil company stock slips sliding away. Crude oil is back under $60 a barrel because U.S. oil production keeps setting records and shows no signs of slowing. And Apple's HomePod speaker out today, but it will cost you $350, much more than Amazon's Echo or Google Home. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-603-1330. That's 800-603-1330. 800-603-1330. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Lamano, your host. I have a great guest today, Allie O'Malley. She has been running Resolve of Greater Rochester for 10 years, the 10th year, right?
I've been running for 10 years, but it's our 20th anniversary.
But it's, oh, so been around for 20 years, yeah. So fantastic. Doing some incredible things in the community for victims of domestic violence, which ranges from obviously physical and sexual abuse, but people don't think of other types of abuse when it comes to control, with money, with verbal abuse, and there's more. And we're learning today on the show too, people certainly will kind of take that shortcut and think of women being abused in all these different ways. But Allie is also saying that there's a lot of men being abused too. And I would imagine it's certainly massively difficult for a woman to finally take charge of her life and come to an organization like yours. But you know, I'm thinking as a man, I mean, it you know, we're all like full of testosterone and caveman pride. For a man to come to you too, I mean, there's got to be some great difficulties in really just kind of being vulnerable to talk about what you know, what they're going through, right?
Right, exactly. Big so, barriers.
Yeah.
It you know, culturally, it's not okay for a man to ask for help, even like related to their health.
Yeah.
Right.
We can handle it.
Yeah. I don't need to go to the doctor, right?
Right, yeah.
So the men get all these messages. How do we socialize men about what does it mean to be a strong man? And, you know, I don't know too many women in the world who don't want their male partners, if that's their choice, to be strong. We do want men to be strong. But what does it mean to be strong? And sometimes part of being strong is asking for help. Sometimes part of being strong is being willing to be vulnerable. That's true for men and for women. Many women think that being vulnerable is, you know, going to hurt you in business or, you know, in life in general. And that's not true. I think being authentic is probably everyone's greatest strength, but we're often so afraid to be that way.
And it's just healthier, right? Mm-hmm. When you're completely true to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's excellent. So as a business owner, I mean, not an owner, but you're really running a business, I should say. I know nonprofits, serving at the honor of the board, as they say.
Absolutely. Right? The privilege. Yes. It's my privilege to serve.
So, so running an organization, have you learned about yourself from a business perspective? Like what are your strengths when it comes to running an organization? What are your weaknesses and how do you manage all that?
Yeah. So that has been a journey for me in this organization. You know, my passion is so strong for this work. I never wanted another person to walk the path that I walked. So that's what gets me up and out of bed every day. I am a visionary leader. And so I've learned kind of during my time in this organization that there's a big difference between a leader and a manager. And I am definitely more of the leader persuasion. I'm not a micromanager. It's not in my nature. I'm a big picture thinker. I love to look for ways to connect the dots, which is challenging on a limited budget. And I need to surround myself with detail people because that's not my strength. I need people who are willing to ask me tough questions and get me to bring that vision down into like workable chunks, right? How do we actually implement this vision that we're thinking about? So
do you have somebody in your team that helps you with that?
Well, I look to the board for that kind of support and helping me to clarify how are we going to make this vision actionable. And so my board is very much a working board. People don't get to show up at my board every once a month and just take attendance and go home.
They're doing stuff.
And, you know, my office manager is a critical partner. My development person coming on board will be a big, big critical person. And then the staff, that works directly with clients, they bring a whole different skill set to the work. And so we use a model of care that's structured, that they have really animated and brought to life in a very, very powerful way. So the effect that we're having or the impact that we're having on the people we serve is profound. And we've actually proven through research with the University of Rochester that it's sustainable. As far out as 3 years, people are sustaining what they have learned and they're healthy and thriving even 3 years out from our program, which in the world of domestic violence is really unheard of.
Wow, so very, very good rates.
Good rates. Yeah. So that's, you know, understanding the difference between and where I can have blind spots in not wanting to dig into the details and keep the big picture has been a journey for me.
What organizations are you involved with to continue to network and collaborate and meet people?
I'm fortunate to be part of an executive director's community that meets on a monthly basis, and it's more of a round table. So it's other executive directors working in a variety of different organizations in town. It's a less formal networking group, and most of the agencies are not the biggest agencies in town that have different challenges and needs than we do. So that's a great group, and I can call on them for a lot of different things.
Yeah, great. And I'd be happy to invite you to, I'm a member of Rotary. Mm-hmm. You can be my guest at Rotary.
Great.
I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
Be happy to have you there as well.
All right.
Because it just seems like we have to, you know, get you in front of more and more people to spread the word about what you're doing, because you're doing great work. Mm-hmm. And how can they help?
Right.
How can they help?
Yeah.
You know, it would be wonderful to meet somebody that says, all right, Allie, I have $1 million. Mm-hmm. What would you do with it?
Yeah.
I bet you could create a pretty cool plan of what you would do with the million.
I would. Yes. Yeah. Well, we're kind of, I would love that. And I appreciate that offer very much. We have, you know, while we're really known and people think of nonprofits as just doing wonderful things for people, and not to minimize that, that's important that we do that. But our vision is, how do we really grow impact in this in this issue?
Yeah.
So, and I had an old boss who was a wonderful mentor who used to say, you know, we need to bloom where we're planted, right? So the impact we want to have is here first, but then our vision is broader than that. So this intervention that we've created that we use in our program, we want to teach other people how to do this work, because the hardest call a person's ever going to make is to my organization. To put on that label and say, oh my God, I'm a domestic violence victim, is a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But I may be seeking out a private counselor for depression or anxiety, which is being caused by this relationship. I may not know that, but when that counselor finds it, if they're only treating the symptoms, they're not really prepared to help this person be well.
Yeah.
So if they understand how to deliver our intervention, we're training those people all over our community right now, we will have much better outcomes as a community. So that's our vision, is how do we have greater impact, not by driving 300 people through our door a year,
yeah.
but meeting people where they are. How do we meet them where we are? And in addition to that work, we've also created an app with RIT that we're going to be doing a major press announcement on in the next few weeks that uses an avatar that acts as a virtual counselor. So when you go to your primary care doctor, you get asked a million screening questions, right? And one of them is, have you ever been hurt physically, or is anybody hurting you physically or emotionally? And physicians were great about learning to ask that question, but they said, what do I do when they say yes?
Yeah, I know what to do.
Right? There is no script I can write for that. There's no easy pathway into support for this person. Mm-hmm. And so this app uses a virtual counselor. She does some education with you, takes you through a video about how living with an abusive or violent partner is affecting your health. And then you can answer specific questions about your situation and get a structured set of recommendations on what you can do right now.
Right.
It's all up to you on whether or not you want to do it. But we're bringing the healthcare community into this work as part of a coordinated response, again, in efforts to meet people exactly where they are right now.
Yeah. I'll say innovative and entrepreneurial.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And one of our key values is innovation, which is also something you don't often see in a nonprofit, because if the funds come from primarily government sources, you're being told how to do what you do.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why we've chosen to be funded privately.
How do I hate to use the word market, but how do women and men know to call you? I mean, how do they find you, I guess, right?
It is such a great question. I'm a marketer by trade, and I came into this nonprofit world. Yeah. And in domestic violence, actually, by New York state law, we can't hang a sign.
Right.
Okay, there's no sign on our building. There's no sign on the street.
I don't understand that. Why?
For safety reasons.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's not safe for the staff necessarily. If perpetrators know where to find us, they may hold us accountable for their partner making changes.
Right.
And it's not, victims can't come safely if perpetrators know where to find them. So we don't have the benefit of that brand recognition in terms of somebody driving by and saying, oh, geez, I've heard of them. They do great work. I'd love to mail them a check.
Right.
So we do a lot of direct mail. We work with the churches closely with the faith community. And so a lot of pastors and lay pastors know to refer to us. The mental health and physical health communities make referrals to us. And the internet is really big. We actually started a Google AdWords campaign last year. We have a great grant as a nonprofit for that. And it really helped generate more people contacting us for help.
Yeah. Good for you. Mm-hmm.
So, but it's hard to come up with money to market as a small nonprofit.
Do you use, and Todd Butler's going to get mad at me. Oh, yeah. Causewave. Do you use Causewave?
Causewave.
Yeah.
We have worked with Causewave in the past.
The ad council.
Yeah. That's right. You got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have worked with them in the past.
All right. Great. I could have Todd on the show. You just made me think of that. So, excellent. So in our last few minutes here, you're running an organization for 10 years. You know, you talked to me about you have a family. We're the same age, we figured out, and you look much younger than me. So you're doing something right. What are your personal habits for success that you could, you stay on top of business and personal life and you yourself, stay mentally and physically well?
Yeah. So I really have focused very much, particularly in the last year, on taking care of my physical health. I didn't have any major health scare, but things were really getting out of control. I've lost 50 pounds in the last year, so
really?
That feels really good. And I'm
that's incredible.
So that, and doing that, carving out that time for myself, self-care is a big part of the work that we're telling clients they need to do. So it's really important that we model that. And so I took that to heart. I'm a big
example, right?
I'm a big person to journal. I think it's important to just get that stuff out of my head. My head's very busy all the time. spending time with my family, just being able to be present with my family. This work that I do is very personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time separating
that
from, it's different than my years of working in telecommunications. And I'm an A personality, so I've always had a hard time kind of detaching from work. But this is a different.
Right.
This is different doing.
Well, you're
this
on
work.
A mission.
I'm on a mission.
Yeah, I mean it's I applaud you because unfortunately, some bad things happened to you, And you not only got over those, which is, you know, incredible in and of itself, but you're choosing to continue to help others with your career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about your annual budget. So, you know, we know you're not getting rich off this job.
No.
And I'm sure you can make a lot more money in telecom or another area.
Yeah.
But you're doing this for really to make a difference,
right,
and you know, leave a mark on what's going on and educate people.
Right.
I mean, just in this past hour, I have learned a ton.
Yeah.
A lot of misconceptions out there.
A lot.
You know, and so just to be educated about it, more aware, has been very helpful for me and hopefully our listeners, and we'll continue. So Ali O'Malley from Resolve of Greater Rochester, if people do want to reach out to you for various reasons, maybe they want to help contribute money, or be on your board, volunteer,
sure.
Or, you know, if they're listening to this show and maybe they're going through some of the issues we were talking about and just want to call you for help, what is the best way to get a hold of you and or Resolve?
Right. So call our office is the best option. And the number is 585-425-1580. If you're interested in learning more generally about the organization, you know, our website is resolve-roc.org. We have a major event coming up on April 12th. And it's a great way to get introduced to the organization. It's called our Resolutionary Awards Breakfast, and it's from 7 to 9 a.m. You are out the door. I promise you will be to work by 9:30. We are really strict on the timeline.
I could see that.
And it's a great way to get exposure to who we are as an organization and learn about the things that we're doing. We bring in a national tier speaker who this year, her name is Susan Still, who helps educate people and inspire them around the work. You absolutely can. We'd love to have you there.
All right, sign me up.
So, all right,
April 12th. Well, Ali O'Malley, I just love saying your name because it's so much fun. So Ali O'Malley from Resolve of Greater Rochester, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And really our listeners, thank you for listening. I hope the show made an impact on you. And I really hope that you reach out to Resolve and Ali and get involved in some way because she's doing some great, great work here in Rochester. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. And last but not least, if you or someone that you know will want to be on the show, please send me an email at david@davidmamano.com. Mamano is M-A-M-M-A-N-O. And last but not least, again, make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Thanks again, Ali. Thanks again, all our listeners. Make it a great day.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.